In our world, it is quite a privilege to be allowed into the presence of certain people, especially when those people are famous or those people are being honored for something or they are royalty. Certainly it is, in the world's eyes, quite an honor to be allowed into the presence of the Queen. The Queen of England, that's a great honor. It's a great privilege, and not many are allowed to enter into that presence. Well, the Bible talks about those who are allowed entrance into the presence of God, who are welcomed into His house. In Psalm 65, verse 4, the psalmist says this about how privileged they are. Psalm 65, verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple." The one who is allowed into the house of God, into His temple, into His presence, it says, is truly blessed. Blessed is the man. And if you're like me, you want and need as many blessings as possible. You know, certainly our world tends to try and take so much away from us who are trying to do our best to follow God. So every individual blessing that is possible, we certainly would desire. But just as only certain people are allowed into the presence of the Queen or any other a noble person like that, the Bible is very specific about who God allows into His presence. One of the shortest psalms we have recorded discusses and describes that individual, and that's Psalm 15. It's only five verses long, but it's where we want to focus our attention in this sermon. The 15th psalm, just five short verses long, but they are wonderful verses. And in these verses, not only does he tell us who's allowed into his presence, but how that individual can keep close to God. We first see in verse 1 the question that's asked. The question that is asked. Verse 1 says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" So there's the first question. Who can stay there? Who is allowed in? Who is able to come in and abide there? Who has this privilege of having a close fellowship with Jehovah? Now, certainly in our world, people would really consider it an honor and a blessing to have the ear of the Queen of England. They would consider that a great honor. And to be allowed not only into her presence, but to continue in her presence. So here David, this is considered to be one of David's psalms, asks the question, who may abide? Who can come in and stay, in other words? Who will you allow in to your presence and allow to stay there? Who has that privilege? In a few verses or chapters on over in Psalm 27, verse 4, the psalmist says, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now that is a marvelous thought. Here we have the desire to go into God's court, His temple, and stay there and inquire of Him. You have any questions you'd like to ask God? Well, probably do. Probably have pages of questions you'd like to ask God. Well, the psalmist said, I desire that. I desire to go into His courts, into His presence, and to inquire there in the temple. Later, the prophet Isaiah describes kind of a similar situation because he describes the blessings of one who is allowed into His presence. In Isaiah 33, here's what Isaiah says by inspiration about being allowed into the presence of God and being allowed to dwell there. This is Isaiah 33, beginning in verse 13. Isaiah 33, beginning in verse 13. Hear, you who are far off, what I've done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? There, here's the answer. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. There's the one that's allowed into the presence of Jehovah. He is blessed in many, many ways, but that person was required to live a certain way. You know, when you're allowed in to see the Queen of England, there are certain things you must do. Certain things you must do, certain things you cannot do. Here it is, the one who's allowed entrance into the presence of Jehovah, into his holy courts, into his temple, must do certain things, live certain ways, walk certain ways, and avoid certain things. Hypocrites, not allowed into his presence. Hypocrites, not allowed there. So that's the question David asked. Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who can dwell in your holy hill? Of course, that's the same question asked in two different ways. That's very common in Hebrew poetry, which is what Psalms, that's how they're written. Quite often, in a verse, the first and second part of the verse are saying the same thing, but in different ways. And that's what David is saying. Who's allowed there? Who can dwell? Who can abide in your holy place? In verse 2 now, he gives the general answer to that. He describes in general the person that's allowed entrance and how they must live. First of all, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. There is the general answer to the question about who can abide in God's presence. He has to walk uprightly. Other versions say walks blamelessly. Others say walks with integrity. Walks with integrity. Imagine if someone were in our nation's capital and they had an integrity meter. A lot of people probably wouldn't be allowed into the House or the Senate or someplace else is because they're not walking in integrity. They're not walking upright. They're not walking blamelessly. This person who's allowed into the presence of God must walk with integrity. Blamelessly, upright. Over in Proverbs, we have the marvelous verse that talks about integrity. Proverbs 28, verse 18. Notice what it says there about integrity. And notice how the distinction is made. Verse 18 of Proverbs 28, whoever walks blamelessly with integrity will be saved or will be delivered. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Notice how the same thing is said, but this way, instead of the same thing being said twice, there's a distinction made. Here's the way to do it. Here's the way not to do it. The one who walks blamelessly is exactly the opposite of one who's perverse in his ways. So this person, to be allowed entrance into God's presence, into his holy courts, into his temple, must walk blamelessly. His character is blameless. But what is that person? When we say they're blameless, they walk with integrity. They walk uprightly. This is a person whose primary goal and desire is to please God. That's a person of integrity. Every decision they make about what they say, where they go, where they don't go, is about seeking God's approval, seeking to please God. Over in Psalm 18, a few pages over in your Bible, from where we were, beginning in verse 23, the psalmist said, I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. There's the blameless person. He's kept himself from a life of iniquity. He keeps his hands clean. Over in Psalms 84 now, verse 11, this person is described, this blameless person, this upright person, is described in verse 11 of Psalms 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Uprightly, blamelessly, with integrity. There's the first part of the answer about the one who's allowed to abide in his presence. He also, besides walking uprightly, works righteousness. Or as other versions say, does what is right. What does that mean, to do what is right? He does what should and needs to be done in God's sight. So he knows what's right, and he seeks to do it. This is the right thing, and I'm going to do what's right and avoid what's wrong. That's this person. And he's not concerned about whether men approve of what he's doing or not, because he's not seeking their approval. He's only seeking God's approval. In Psalms 106, verse 3, the psalmist says, blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. All times. Remember in Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes about his confrontation with Peter. And he kind of ends that by talking about he's concerned not about seeking the approval of the other apostles, but seeking the approval of God. That's in Galatians 1 and 2. That's what Paul is concerned about. Seeking God's approval. He's not concerned whether men approve of what he's doing or not. That's not important. As long as God approves of what he's doing, he's happy. That's the person that works righteousness, that does what is right. He does what's right in God's eyes regardless of whether men think it's right or not. You know, today men think all kinds of things that are wrong that we know are right. And so we do them. And people think it's terrible, some of the things we do. But we do them because it's right and we're not seeking their approval. When I do what the Bible tells me is right, I don't care if people like it or not, because I don't have to answer to them. Does it make any difference if they have authority or they have power or anything else? That's not important, because no one has authority and power like God. So this person does what's right, walks blamelessly, and then speaks truth in his heart. Speaks truth in his heart. He values truth. This person is honest. He's sincere. He's not like the one back in Psalms chapter 12, verse 2, that says, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. The person who's allowed into the presence of God does not use flattering lips, deceitful talk, doesn't have a double heart. In other words, he is honest and straightforward, speaks the truth. That's what he does. He's sincere. He is not a hypocrite. Since that's the general answer to the one who's allowed into the presence of God, are these the things that drive our behavior? Are these the qualities that motivate us? Are these the values that influence our behavior, our attitudes, our actions? Do they guide our decisions? That's what David asked, and that's what he's saying. And then the last three verses of our psalm describes in much more detail what that man is like. The question is asked in verse 1. The basic answer is given in verse 2. And then in the last three verses, David describes in more detail what it means to walk uprightly or blamelessly, to speak the truth in his heart. So David says, this is what it looks like to do those things. And in each of those verses, he stresses walking in a certain way. Verse 3, walking in innocence. At least that's what I called it. Walking in innocence, verse 3. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In other words, this person is innocent. He is not trying to do harm to other people. He's concerned about other people's welfare. He's concerned about other people. He doesn't slander other people, doesn't lie about other people, because truth motivates what he does. So he walks in innocence. In Psalms 34, the psalmist describes this person in verse 13 like this. It says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Back in Exodus chapter 23, Moses wrote about what it means to take up a reproach. In Exodus 23, the first two verses of that chapter, Moses tells us about this individual. He says in the first two verses of Exodus 23, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. And in verse 3, you shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. In other words, you are walking in innocence. You are not guilty of slander. You're not guilty of lying. You're not guilty of bearing false witness. You're not guilty of those things. You are walking in innocence of those. Verse 4, this person walks in holiness, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. This person is concerned about holiness. He loves what God loves, hates what God hates. You know, the Bible from beginning to end talks about many things that God loves, many things that God hates. The person who's allowed into God's presence walks in holiness because he loves the same thing God loves and hates the same thing God hates. Now, God's people have to hate certain things. We're told specifically God hates many things. Well, we need to hate the same things God hates. So when we go to Scripture and it says that God hates something, we need to hate the same thing. We need to despise it for the same reason that God does. That's walking in holiness. Over in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the wise man tells us this in verse 13 of Proverbs 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So there's four or five things in that verse that the Bible says God hates. Evil, pride, arrogance, evil way, perverse mouth. That's just a few of them. So we need to, if we desire to have close fellowship with God, if we desire to stay close to God, to be allowed into His presence, we need to love what He loves and hates what He hates. But that also means that we are to love, as he says here, we honor those who fear the Lord. I think this is something we greatly fall down in right here. Honors. You know, we need to honor all good men. We owe them a debt of honor. So we need to honor, esteem those who fear the Lord, those who hold the Lord in high esteem, those who are walking uprightly. We need to honor them. That's what the Bible says. In Psalms 119, verse 63, the psalmist writes this. Psalms 119, verse 63, says, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Those are the people that we need to have as our companions. Those who fear the Lord, those who keep His commandments, those who walk blamelessly, those who keep truth in their heart. Those are the people we need to have as our companions. And those are the ones we need to honor and to hold in esteem. This person also swears to his own herd and does not change. He keeps his word regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. And it may be costly. It may cost a lot for you to keep what you said you were going to do, to keep your promise. It may be very costly. But this person who wants and desires to be in God's presence has that as a driving factor. They want to be trustworthy. God's trustworthy. Everything God has promised, He's going to do. And He says, I want people around me that are the same. So no wonder the psalmist talks about these qualities and values that the person near God needs to have. Walk in innocence, walk in holiness, and lastly, verse 5, walk in justice. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He walks in justice. Usury, of course, interest. And of course, we know in the during the time of the Mosaical Law, they were very there were many commands about how the Jewish people were not to charge interest to their brethren. They were not, and they would be condemned if they did. They were not to take bribes. He doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. In Exodus chapter 23, we have this in verses 6 through 9. Exodus 23, beginning in verse 6. We read down through verse 3. Now we skip down to verse 6. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. He walks in justice. Doesn't extort, doesn't take advantage of other people. When people are in great need, they don't take advantage of them. These are the kind of qualities and values that God says you must have to remain in my presence, to have close fellowship with me. It says those are the qualities. And when you look at those, what a wonderful world it would be if those were the qualities that described even most people. Even most people. How wonderful it would be. It would be a wonderful life, like the Christmas show. It would be a wonderful life. Most people, though, do not have that desire to be in the presence of God because it is costly, as we saw from these descriptions. It's costly. We have to think about the right decisions to make. We have to work. We have to do what's right regardless if it's popular. We have to keep our word, even if it means a sacrifice on our part. We have to be for justice, regardless of who's involved. We have to be just. We have to seek after holiness, and on and on. These are the qualities that God says we must have to be in His presence. And He ends by saying that he who does these things shall never be moved. Shall never be moved. You know, being welcomed by God into his presence needs to be viewed as something very, very precious. Something that we should desire above all else. And he says, you will be blessed if you so do. You shall never be moved. You shall never be shaken. Like Psalm 1 begins, blessed is the man. And that man is the one who stands fixed and firm by following God's word. This is the person allowed entrance into God's presence. Five short verses, but a marvelous psalm for us to focus on, especially as we think about an invitation. Focus on, are these the values that drive our behavior? Are these the qualities that we base our decisions upon? For certainly they need to be. Tonight, if you have a desire to respond to the great gospel invitation, we urge you, encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.